The views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, to the Stand Up Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from Senior Region number 6. Today is March the 25th, 2019. We have a live show for you today. It's a Monday. And at any time you'd like to get in on a conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. So you can definitely reach us there. So please do that. We have, once again, a live show for you today. So please call in if any time that you have any questions or comments. Okay, everyone, please support Black Talk Radio Network by going to the website and hitting the donation prompt at www.blacktalkradionetwork.com, or the most preferred way and the best way to support this network is actually becoming a member inside a BTR community. So please do that. We're going to need your support. Scotty needs the support. We need the support. The network needs the support for this network to continue to do what it's been bringing you. So you can do that by becoming a member at BTR Community at www.btrcommunity.com. Once you're there, become a member for only $24 a year, an annual fee of $24 a year to engage in that. And that is very significant. We want you to do that. So that supports the network and keeps it on air, and it is definitely, it needs that overall support, else it will go dark. So today, just a little couple of glitches, I guess. Some people weren't able to log in. Hopefully we get that all straightened out and we can move forward. And Pastor Keith is in the building. What's up, Pastor Keith? How you doing? Looking a little sharp there, Pastor Keith.
Thank you.
You didn't come in your regular bummy attire, huh? You came like so. Pastor Keith is in the building. What's going on? Like that tie, brother.
Thanks.
So definitely support the network. Need your support. And so what we're going to do is today's show is that we're going to take a look at one of the real threats of cyber, the real cyber threat, and we're going to do that today. And I'm going to post some things that Scotty can play. That we need to really take a look at for you all so that you'll know some of the things that's what's going on. No, I have some things for what's in the news. It's not posted there, but I'll just go over some of those things with you all so that you'll know that that's there. So let me just set that up real quick, Keith. What's going on, bro? What say you? We missed Friday this weekend and had people coming from all over, had a do the show on Friday. So Keith, what's going on? How you feeling, brother?
Man, I'm blessed. God is good.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's it, huh? Keith, that's it.
That's it.
Good, good. All right, so we're going to get in the news. And anything keep for you that was what's in the news that you wanted to chime in on?
No, I guess probably. I'm sure you're going to talk about this Mueller thing. But no.
No, absolutely not.
All right, I ain't have a problem.
Yeah. Just only because, Keith, there's just so much stuff that's going on. And we'll probably carry that later on.
Yeah, but everything's speculation.
Yeah, and the thing about it, there's some real pressing things that's happening that I think we really, really should be paying a lot of attention to. So we're going to jump into that. But good to be back on air with you all and ready to go. So, okay, so one of the articles, there's something I'm going to play, and it's going to be from Cerebrally Naive Network, and it's going to be War in Space and how that, and I think that is very, 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 very critical, because I definitely see that is what's going to put us in very significant harm's way, and it's coming like right around. It's here. And so I just want, we're going to take a look at that and what that actually could look like. Okay, so I'll post that inside of, so Scotty can play it, and that's one of the things that we're going to take a look at today. Significant. I think that you'll find it very, very intriguing and significant. So, all right, so some of the other things is what's happening in the news. I guess Israel in the Golan Heights is really, really ramping up, and so that, I definitely anticipate that blowing up relatively soon. There's a article out of the Independent. Netanyahu cuts short his U.S. trip, and Israel Army Reserve is called up after Gaza rocket attack. So that overall situation is really blowing up there. Continuous is one of those things that's going to put the war on the forefront in Syria, in Iran, in Egypt. I wouldn't be surprised, in Jordan, I wouldn't be surprised if they fall into another military confrontation that's going to lead to all-out war with Israel in relatively short order, in a short period of time. What I mean by it's going to be much sooner than later. It's definitely going to happen. Just how big is it going to be? And how is that going to cross-pollinate across the world? It's going to be real, real significant. So that's one that we're going to check out. Next article, this one comes from Sputnik News. Russian military officials arrive in Venezuela for defense talks. So that need to definitely check that out. A lot of things that are happening there on that front, and we're going to cover some of that as of today as well. Next article, also from this one comes from Russia Insider. Russia gives the U.S. a red line on in Venezuela. We're definitely going to, that's why the troops arrived yesterday, and they're going to continue to arrive in Venezuela. It is the overall real, I guess it may even be the starting point for World War III / global and GNW1, Global Nuclear War One. So, very significant. We're going to take a look at that. And then next one is Trump to sign order to recognize, and this, let me tell you where this one came from. This one comes from one second to you all. This comes from AMN.com News. Trump has signed order to recognize Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights. That's the war. There's no way in the world Syria and the other aligning nations are going to allow that to happen, and this is why this whole thing is becoming a real powder keg that is not good for us all. So it was a lot of other things that I wanted to post in the news. Let me grab a couple of other ones. Keith, I see the overall concern in your face there. Was there anything significant, my friend?
No, just in March 4th, it took everything that was predicted to happen.
Yeah, it's becoming, and you know, it's not really being publicized much at all. So, significant. Next article comes from RT International. Netanyahu vows retaliation with force against rocket attack. Next article from RT as well. Bolton threatens companies with shipping oil to Cuba, Venezuelan oil to Cuba. And there was a couple of more. 1 second. Okay, that was basically it. So we're gonna. That's enough for us to start today's show. And today's show, the premise is really going to be, you know, if you really, one of the things that we talk about it a lot, Keith, how the new war is going to be bound by space. It's going to be there, and what that entails. And as we all know now, Keith, that the U.S. has to get an Uber ride out into space, pretty much. They got to piggyback with other people to get into space, particularly Russia, to get into space now. And there's definitely going to be a space war, which is basically the advent or the catapult for the cyber attack, because the satellites are the key in cyber warfare. So how do you shut down, how do you have the most effective cyber warfare is you take out satellites. Because that's what in the U.S. economy is darn near 100% it is 100% dependent upon that technology now. And that's the vulnerability. And so the cyber war is really a poor man's nuclear war. You can disable a whole country through cyber warfare. So you can actually nullify a nation that has a superior military to yours by you having a much more effective cyber capabilities, and that military will be rendered, you know, null and void, ineffective in so many, so to speak. So we need to really take a look at that. And I'm saying that because, you know, the actual, go ahead, Keith.
One caveat to that, you said you could take out a whole what?
A whole nation.
Okay. So I was reading, and they were talking about that Poseidon missile system that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And what they were saying is, with that system, they could take out a whole continent.
Yeah. Yeah. Take out a whole continent. And so that tells you, you know, actually how vast and how fragile things really are. And, you know, that definitely is very plausible. You know, you probably can take out the global network. Definitely can take out the global network. And the sophistication of things are so advanced. It's not advanced, but the ability to do that is really there. I'm going to tell y'all something that was really crazy for me, Keith, over this weekend. So I got from my bank card, I got a fraud alert from my bank card. Of course, there was a purchase that I didn't make. It was physically impossible for me to be on, you know, in one place, and they said that this purchase was made in another part of the world. So, of course, it was easy that was fraud. So the banking institution said for me to call. Right? So I call. Here's the message I got. The the call was recorded.
Right.
This one said this. Are you ready? The call will be monitored for voice recognition. My mouth dropped. The call will be monitored for voice recognition. Now, is that far-fetched? No. because every person has a very distinct, you know, dialect. You know, everyone is, their voice is almost a pattern as sure as a fingerprint, you know. But I was like, wow. And this is the advent of some of the things. So the ability and the technology to shut things down is very, very easy. How you know this possible is this. If it's shut on, that means someone is able to shut it off. And they might not tell you because they don't need to tell you. It's just, you know, they just want you to facilitate and use the overall technology and everything, but there's always a controller. There's someone that actually, they allow you access and everything else. But there's always a controller of things, and you don't know where that other end of that control really is. And by having the technology that's available now, it gives even more anonymity to the controller than it's done before in the past. And it's very, very significant. So I was like, what?
That kind of reminds me of what you were also saying about the, what is it, the 5?
The 5G, yeah. The 5G. And Keith, I'm glad you said that because, you know, the U.S. didn't want Germany to work with Huawei to help Germany build its 5G network because of military and intelligence reasons. Guess what Germany said? Nah, we're going to work with them. Why did Germany say that? Because if you really look at it, that is a way for them to be able to communicate with who? Their allies. So it gave you a real clue as to where Germany and France's allegiance is. It's now with the Russians and the Chinese. So this NATO thing is definitely breaking up. The indicators, the evidence of that is right there in front of us. If you just look at it, the evidence is there.
Yeah, and it's not like the little boy that plugged that one hole either. I mean, that thing's coming apart at the frames in many different areas at the same time.
Yeah, and it's going to be dangerous because there's going to be a brokering for allegiance. You know, there's going to be lobbying for allegiance. And that's very, very dangerous because that means that is going to push up the overall financial disturbance and the financial is going to destabilize the global economy even more because in that lobby, the deals have to be struck and the payments have to be made. And so now you're coming off of this. Oh, man, it's really moving into a very hastened confrontation, and I see it going to be pretty significant and pretty big. So what I want to do is I want to, with this cyber stuff. Oh, before we go, cyber.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There's another thing too. I don't know if you watched 60 Minutes last night.
No, you know I was. I didn't get home. Oh my goodness! And hopefully you didn't get caught in that hail. Keith, oh my goodness, that hail did a number on me last night. Man. But go ahead, Keith.
So what the story was about was it was about this program that Israel has developed that allows them to infiltrate whatever wants to infiltrate.
Yeah.
It can even go into your cell phone.
Oh,
pull up all your texts, all your pictures, all of everything.
Of course.
I can even go back and pull up the pictures you deleted, the whole 9 yards.
Yeah, of course.
This thing goes much farther than the cell phones, of course.
Yeah.
This thing can be infiltrated into people's whole entire systems, government systems, et cetera, without any trace that they have been there for all essential purposes. So I brought that up because what you were saying about how sensitive things were with electronics and stuff.
And fragile, yeah. Keith, and, you know, I was speaking to some of my clients, and they have some major major company ties. And, you know, they speak, you know, they whisper when they speak about things. And what they were saying the capabilities are and what's being faced right now, it's the perfect scenario, because really everyone is now, not everyone, the power sources of the world are interconnected and purposely so to be able to control them. And they did it very gradually to get everybody on board so that they would be able to bring in this sweeping reform so that it would go right under people and they wouldn't really you really wouldn't take notice to what is really happening. And what's happening now is that everything can be coordinated at such a precise time and event that it will be darn near impossible for people to respond appropriately or immediately if they're not already prepared for such an event to happen. Basically, for a blackout. And it's so fragile, and it's purposely done that way. Because when something is fragile, that means that the importance of it is actually magnified even more. Because the disruption it can be so great. It's so significantly real that it is the preferred method. This is now what is trying to be done, and what I'm understanding is that, as Brzezinski said, it used to be easier to control a million people than it is to kill a million people. Now it's infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control. What's really happening is now they're going to move back to being able to have even more control so they won't need to kill a million people. The system won't need to kill a million people. But that, in my opinion, that's going to be after it actually thins out the herd.
Which is killing
a
million people.
No. Millions.
Hundreds of millions.
Yes, a lot of people. And being able to thin that herd off, then there'll be, it will become much easier to control a million or so people. And that's where I'm seeing this whole thing going. So, cyber-wise, and our exposure to it is very, very real. And I just want you all to be able to have an appropriate response to some things that are going to happen. We've had the overall examples that have happened. Now, one of the first examples in modern times of a significant cyber attack was in the Ukraine. Russia turned the lights out on the Ukraine. They hit them with a cyber attack, and they caused all the lights to go out in the country. That was really the first modern day cyber war major event. And then the in my opinion, the most recent one was Venezuela. And now that is the preferred battlefield. And in that being the preferred battlefield, it is the worst engagement of war for the everyday person in developed countries, because that means that you're going to be subject to every attack now, and every attack will have a force multiplier of disruption, containment, and collateral damage. Effective collateral damage.
Now, I think a couple of things come into play, and they're synergistic in how these things are going to be done, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Number one, we talked about the fact that China, Russia, etc., they are far superior, in my understanding, to where we are as far as the space.
Oh, we're going to see that now. Yes.
As far as space war goes.
Yes.
But the other thing is, you're starting to have nations, India, Sweden, Denmark, several of these, several Spanish nations
mm-hmm.
that are getting 50% of their energy from solar energy.
Mm-hmm.
So if these systems aren't bombed necessarily, or if they're aware of the EMG, et cetera, et cetera, EMP, et cetera, et cetera, and they put in place to have those parts replaced if one goes out. Again, they are so infinitely mm-hmm. ahead of us in preparedness for these things, whereas we're fighting against them, which really seems to be like that is almost the only salvation that the United States can have.
Yeah, the everyday person. Yes, Keith, you're right. And it's, and we're going to take a look at that, and you can actually, we'll actually take a look at some other things, but yes, the overall superiority, or well, man, I'm sorry, been talking a lot. The overall advantage is much more superior with the Russians and the Chinese because of their ability to get into space right now. Now, the U.S. can send up rockets and everything else, but it's limited in what it can actually do. It's limited in compared to what can be done. This is why they, you know, one of the things that they're trying to do is the Space Force. Well, they've always had a Space Force. NASA is a Space Force. Keep you know from your military time, you know, the only way that you're going to be able to command a naval vessel, a military vessel, wherever that vessel may be, in the Navy, in the Army, in the Air Force, in the Marine Corps, or in the Coast Guard. You have to be a military, is going to be done by military personnel. Any captain or any commander of a vessel in the military structure has to be a military commander. Especially if it's an elaborate vessel. You're not going to get a civilian captain in the USS anything.
Absolutely.
So when you look at where NASA had the space shuttle, who were all of the pilots? There was not one civilian pilot. All of the astronauts that was in the commanders of it was who? They were military personnel. So what does that tell you? That the space shuttle was what? A military vessel.
Well, the NASA has never been considered
a branch
of the military, but ultimately that's what it's always been.
It always has been, because you know that by who's their pilots. You know, if NASA was a private organization, it would be like Southwest. American Airlines, they would have civilian pilots. But no, NASA has who is pilots and commanders, military personnel for military, because they are on a military vessel. So the Space Force is nothing new. They've been doing it since Operation Paperclip.
Yeah, and been talking about it.
Yeah, and so it's nothing new. So, but what I want to do is I want to play something. I'm going to send it to Scotty real quick. And I want to, Scotty, let's do 15 minutes of this, because it's just really, really significant. It's like an hour long.
Hey, Brother Davis.
15 minutes. Yeah, yes, go ahead. Go ahead, Brother Davis.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. I'm glad show is kicking off as it usually is, full of information. I wanted to add to that concept, Brother Keith started talking about the Pegasus last night that he's seen on 60 Minutes. That's been implemented in the United States and all over the world. The only reason why they really brought it public is that now it's been sold to Saudi Arabia and they used it in a negative way. The United States has always used it in a negative way. They want you to think that this has saved the United States from a lot of different things, not just the United States, but it's other countries too. But let me make some things clear to you. First of all, they never wanted the American public to know it. Actually, the person who opened the door to that knowledge was Snowden. And the reason why he opened the door to the knowledge and not said exactly what it was because he didn't want to be eliminated immediately. You see, he's still in hiding. So there's a whole lot of things that the United States don't really want exposed. Two, Venezuela is a 75 to 80% country of color. Think about that. Right now, all of the countries that are literally being focused on are high sun content countries. Why? Because the next edge of new technology is dealing with the development of solar energy. And the only reason why they have to go that way is because they have no choice. At this stage of the game, I don't even know if the climate can be recovered from all the damage that greed has done to these carcinogenic fuels. So we have to, one, wake up in reality because the government is telling us we're going to have a major calamity in the United States. That's coming. There's no question about that. Everybody who's talking about it is saying the same thing except when. They know that too. So we can't be so caught up in what we consider to be normal, because most people, they think that they're living normal lives. There is no normalcy in America anywhere. And therefore, they're becoming complacent and not preparing for what they are. The government, Homeland Security, everybody's telling you this is coming. We have to prepare for what is about to come. Another thing I want you to realize, too, is next year's car market has about 30 electric cars hitting the market from foreign countries. You know why? Because the United States didn't understand the importance of making a decision based on the need of the people instead of the greed of corporations. That's the only reason why the United States isn't in the forefront of electric technology as far as solar and automobiles right now. So their catch-up is putting them so far behind, they have to create a calamity because then calamity is cash. Plus, they want to go to war in a foreign country, and Venezuela is perfect because, like I said, what do they get? 80% of the day is full of sun? Can you imagine the energy source that offers? We got to wake up because the target isn't the land. The target is the people. There's something in your DNA that you have not discovered that they have. But if you do discover it, they know that you cannot be controlled. So they have to keep you in a state of control. And that's why all of these institutions, remember I gave you a show about the age of Aquarius and the age of Pisces? All of these institutions are starting to break down now. I mean, let's think. Dave just talked about NATO. NATO was the secure institution for corporate control of the world. So you can bet there's a lot of panic thing going on. But in reality, they're going to stand by their guns and target countries of color. And it's more than just the surface understanding to that. We just have not, we've had our heritage stolen from us. So we have not broken into the DNA on a level to be able to retrieve what we need in a whole. We got to get it by pieces. What do I mean? Some people are getting some pieces, other people are getting other pieces, and they just haven't come together to put it all together. But they know there's something. And the very people who are initiating this, they know it. And the reason why they know it is because when they raped African Library, they got knowledge that went back to the beginning of recorded time. In that knowledge was the essence of why they cannot let people of color rise to the genesis stage of understanding the physical dynamics of their bodies. Because when they do, they're already far superior on every level. Look at inventions. Look at athletics. This is not something that happened by chance. They know exactly what they're doing, and the idea is to keep people of color in the dark. Because guess what? If it wasn't a problem, why would they stop you from reading? Remember, for a long time, they wouldn't even allow black people to read because that would move them closer to developing their psychological understanding and their intellectual understanding to be able to encompass the whole of truly what they are. And here's what really bothers me. Most black people don't realize that they were chosen to be here first for a reason. So literally, as this here begins to develop, first of all, black people, prepare yourselves, because they're telling you, they're coming after you. Prepare yourselves to survive, because once you do, that time it's going to take for them to eliminate as many as they can, and they're telling you they're doing it now. That's why they focus on Venezuela. It's a large country of color, like I told you. They already have almost dismantled Africa. And believe me, that weather they're having is crazy. Just like weather over here, it's crazy. There's a lot of damage being done, but we can restructure this. But we got to take everything serious that deals with our survival. And I mean absolutely serious, because those who don't, won't. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that opportunity.
Well said, Brother Davis. And, you know, Brother Davis is so true. You know, Venezuela, you know, Chavez used to, you know, if you listen to Chavez said, I'm black. You know, and you see his family, his daughter, she's gorgeous. She looks like any other, you know, sister from here in the States, and so to speak. Gorgeous. And yes, and, you know, one of the things that's very critical what Brother Davis was saying is that it's a sun nation. So that means it's a silver nation. That means that the overall intrinsic value that overall land has is multiplied exceedingly, because it's a silver nation. And silver nation, because that's where silver comes from. It comes from the sun. So that's why silver is so valuable and what it all can do. And it's very true as to why that overall nation is being targeted. It's a very significant reason for that. And greatly appreciate that input, Brother Davis, because as always, it's valuable for us to be aware of things and to make some decisions. And, you know, the weather is going to be, there's another strong weather system that's coming that's going to bring a lot of rain to already saturated grounds here in different parts of this of the United States. And so definitely you want to be prepared for that, but because those things, I think, are going to be, you know, this, you never know, is that seasonal or is it actually artificial? There's a lot of different variables. So it's all the reasons why to be prepared in today's world. So greatly appreciate that, Brother Davis. Now, we're going to jump into and I sent Scotty the video. I want you to hear this from Cerebrally Naive Network, and then we need to touch on this. And I just want to say this before we get started. Keith, it looks like the troops that were landed in Venezuela from Russia yesterday, guess what they were bringing? They were bringing some of the initial S-300 systems that's going to be put into Venezuela. It's a no-fly zone.
I thought those were already in place.
I think there's some of them, but they're probably bringing more. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's a relatively large country. So, oof, boy. So, you know, here it comes, setting it all up. So, I want you to listen to this actual publication that came from Keith's favorite network, Cerebrally Naive Network, a.k.a. CNN. But just listen to it. Here we go. You're going to do like about 15 minutes, Scotty.
It is also a weapon.
Threats of a potential World War III.
I think it's an inevitability over time.
Unimaginable weapons.
So you could kidnap another satellite?
Essentially.
Designed to bring America to its knees.
Our satellites are at risk, and our ground infrastructure is at risk.
Stand by, data building in Florida.
What can the U.S. possibly do to prevent this catastrophe?
This is a CubeSat.
To find out, we go inside and underground.
This is the global operation.
With rare access to the places and the people preparing for war in space. The next battlefield. As the sun sets and the nation goes to sleep, the battle for supremacy in space is about to begin. One final night before Americans wake up to a new and daunting reality. 10 a.m. New York, 7 a.m. Los Angeles. Cities normally buzzing with the morning rush suddenly stall. TV networks start to go dark. Internet connections run slow. ATMs begin to malfunction. There's confusion. No panic, not yet. As stealth cyber attacks are racing through the U.S. at the speed of light.
Then you have the question of, is it a cascading effect or not?
By noon in New York and 9 a.m. in Los Angeles, financial markets, dependent on exact timing provided by GPS, are frozen. Mobile phone services, already patchy, fail. Confusion gives way to growing fears this is much more than a simple cyber glitch. Many traffic lights and railroad signals, also timed by GPS, default to red, bringing transport to a standstill. Commercial air traffic is grounded as pilots lose navigation and weather data. Power stations and water treatment plants begin to stop functioning.
This feels like utter science fiction, and yet it's not.
Promoting track 1-2.
By now, Americans know the country is under some kind of attack.
This is Sivers. We're taking a space launch on it.
And they look to the armed forces to spring into action.
Stand by. Data building is closed.
But the world's greatest military is struggling to respond. Military pilots and drones lose contact with the ground. GPS-guided smart bombs are rendered dumb. Warships lose contact with commanders. This is the nightmare scenario. Chaos on Earth as our adversaries launch a massive cyber attack on key infrastructure and disable and destroy our satellites in space. The first shots in the first space war.
Explosions in space that no one will hear.
Peter Singer wrote about this dire scenario in his book Ghost Fleet, and he now advises the Defense Department on just this type of threat.
You are now in World War III. So besides losing your ability to take out money from an ATM, your nation is in World War III.
This is not fantasy. This is the future. A future for which the U.S. is now urgently preparing.
If you say, is it inevitable, then the answer is probably yes.
General John Hyten, until recently the head of U.S. Space Command, has now been promoted to lead Strategic Command, charged with crucial missions ranging from commanding nuclear warfare to cyber warfare to war in space.
Anytime human beings have come to new territory and contested it, conflict has followed.
Human beings forever have wanted to explore what's beyond the hill, the horizon, and as we go out there, there's always been conflict. Conflict in the Wild West as we moved into the West. Conflict twice in Europe with horrible world wars. So every time humans actually physically move into that, there's conflict. And in that case, we'll have to be prepared for that.
This new contested territory, however, is mind-boggling. 73 trillion cubic miles.
The Space Surveillance Network has been transmitting observations.
And the early signs, by U.S. leaders' own admission, are disturbing for life as Americans know it. In 2015, the Pentagon expressed grave concern that America was not ready for war in space. It was proven right when, months later, U.S. Space Forces were overwhelmed in war games that targeted U.S. space assets.
It does get ugly in a hurry. If it goes kinetic, it gets ugly really bad.
Kinetic warfare, meaning that shots are fired in space, would cause permanent damage and destruction to the fragile satellites that control much of our life on Earth. Like a space-age Paul Revere, General William Shelton, Hyten's immediate predecessor at Space Command, has been sounding the alarm.
Did action, though, start quickly enough?
You're talking to a guy that was looking to really precipitate action, and I would say the answer was no. Could we provide active defense of our own satellites? The answer is no.
You could not today defend the satellite assets we have.
Certainly not on orbit. Mm. Clearly, there are things you can do on the ground, but space to space, no.
Perhaps worst of all, American adversaries know it, that the U.S. is not prepared, and that the U.S., more than any other nation, depends on space.
Our ability to be this sort of unique 21st century kind of power depends on space being a sanctuary for us. But also it means there's incentives to take that away from us.
Who are those adversaries? They will sound familiar from standoffs down here on Earth. Russia and China.
We have very good surveillance and intelligence capabilities, so we can see the threats that are being built.
And that's China in particular.
China in particular. Russia is also working on those capabilities.
But that's something you're preparing for, so I imagine nothing is off limits, in effect.
We're developing capabilities to defend ourselves. It's really that simple.
And so the U.S. finds itself in a new, more ominous space race.
Is the U.S. at risk of losing a war?
I think so. We'd be silly to say it's not a possibility. That's what any defense planner will tell you, is don't look for the ideal outcome. Plan for the worst day so that you can survive it.
Coming up.
The wake-up call really was January of 2007. When the Chinese tested their anti-satellite weapon.
The first shots in space have already been fired.
All right, good morning, Charlie crew. Let's get started with changeover.
One of the first warning shots in space was spotted here at the Joint Space Operations Center at Vandenberg Air Force Base in California.
All assets are currently tasked and are ready to support. Pending any questions, ma'am, that's all I've got.
It was May 2014 when a small team of airmen monitoring a Russian space launch saw something they'd never seen before.
As part of the Russian space launch, we were tracking three objects on orbit. One was the actual satellite that they were launching in orbit. One was the rocket body, and another was what we assumed to be a piece of debris.
But soon after, that debris came to life. Lieutenant General David Buck, commander of U.S. Military Space Forces, was on duty.
The one object that we assumed was a piece of debris started to maneuver in close proximity to the booster.
It has continued to, over time, make maneuvers?
We're watching it very closely.
In other words, it's not debris, but a satellite with new and dangerous capabilities. Hidden from sight in an old airplane hangar at Vandenberg is General Buck's team, airmen who consider themselves the first space warriors. First Lieutenant Andrew Engel is one of them, assigned to the Joint Space Operations Center, one small part of America's Space Command. It's a command with some 38,000 employees, a nearly $9 billion annual budget, and 134 locations across the globe.
Now, when you see a satellite from another country move in space like that. Mm-hmm. Is there any other explanation except that they're testing out an offensive capability?
Everything that has that type of capability can be easily changed into an offensive capability.
The satellite's official call sign is Cosmos 2499. But the airmen here have a more daunting nickname, Kamikaze, a spacecraft expressly designed to maneuver up close to another satellite and disable or destroy it. In other words, this satellite can go on attack.
This is something that is kind of on the new frontier of space that we're seeing from our adversaries in this aspect. It's highly technical, highly skilled.
Today, Lieutenant Engel, one of Space Command's newly created defensive duty officers, watches his computer screens with the alertness of a sentry guarding a forward military outpost.
It takes a lot of vigilance. It takes us being focused, being ready every single day.
We would absolutely be shocked if the U.S. military were not on a war footing now based on what we see.
Paul Graziani, CEO of the civilian satellite tracker AGI, finds his team on the front lines of this new threat.
There's no doubt that Russia and China both have seen that this is a way that they could shift the odds in their favor.
AGI tracks some 10,000 commercial and military objects orbiting the Earth. Their visual rendering of satellites and debris, as small as 4 inches across, resembles a porch light swarming with thousands of mosquitoes. We spent the day with their ops team as Graziani showed us that Cosmos 2499, that Russian kamikaze, is far from the only threat. Now, meet Luch.
It's a Russian satellite, and what's been happening here is this satellite has been maneuvering through geosynchronous space and cozying up close to various communication satellites, listening to what traffic is flowing over those.
Launched in 2014, just a few months after the kamikaze, this second Russian satellite takes offensive space capability to a new level, operating like a space fighter jet and a spy plane. We watched, again in real time, as Luch shadowed a European communication satellite, hoovering up every byte of information.
What's interesting is it has two capabilities. It can listen. It can spy on all the communications coming out of this EUTELSAT, this European communication satellite.
Correct.
But because it can maneuver, it also has the potential just to become a bullet.
It could. It could. So if the operators of this spacecraft so chose, they could direct it to actually hit another spacecraft.
Over the course of a year, Luch has also cozied up to three U.S. satellites, handling some of the most sensitive military communications. Graziani was charged with delivering the bad news to one of its victims, U.S.-owned Intelsat.
We actually, as soon as we figured that out, that it was parking next to an Intelsat satellite, we picked up the phone and we called Intelsat and we let them know they've got a new neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Their reaction?
They were not happy.
The Russian government did not respond to CNN's request for comment on Luch or Cosmos 2499. If Russia's launches of those potential attack satellites were the space equivalents of surgical strikes, China's 2007 space shot was a sledgehammer. That year, the Chinese launched a massive space kill vehicle similar to this launch, striking one of its own satellites and blasting it, literally, into thousands of pieces.
I would say that the wake-up call really was
when the Chinese
tested their anti-satellite weapon against their own satellite. Clear demonstration that the technology was there in the hands of the Chinese anyway.
Hey, Dave, we back, man. Hello?
Scott, it just took me a second to get there. Okay. Ooh. And the ramifications of this, we're going to talk about this and what this really means. We're getting ready to go into a commercial break, and when we come back, we want to really break this down and so everyone can kind of see what this entails and where this is going and why it's so important to prepare, because it's really, really here. And the definition of it all, it definitely pulls up a big L for the U.S. military and pretty much everyone here in continental United States. It puts up a big L in this category. So you're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Scotty, give me like 2 minutes, and then we'll be right back. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
What he's doing is using an adjective to describe something that's incidental about him, one of his incidental characteristics. So there's nothing else to it. He's just white. But when you get the white man over here in America and he says he's white, he means something else. You can listen to the sound of his voice when he says he's white. He means he's boss. That's right. That's what white means in this language. You know the expression free, white, and 21? He made that up. He's letting you know all of them mean the same. White means free, boss. He's up there. So that when he says he's white, he has a little different sound in his voice. And I know you know what I'm talking about. This was what I saw was missing in the Muslim world. If they said they were white, it was incidental. White, black, brown, red, yellow. It doesn't make any difference what color you are. And so this was the religion that I had accepted and had gone there to get a better knowledge of it. And but despite the fact that I saw that Islam was a religion of brotherhood, I also had to face reality. And when I got back into this American society, I'm not in a society that practices brotherhood. I'm in a society that might preach it on Sunday, but they don't practice it on no day, on any day. And so since I could see that America itself is a society where there is no brotherhood, and that this society is controlled primarily by racists and segregationists, and it is, who are in Washington, D.C. in positions of power, and from Washington, D.C. they exercise the same forms of brutal oppression against dark-skinned people in South and North Vietnam, or in the Congo, or in Cuba, or in any other place on this earth where they're trying to exploit and oppress. This is a society whose government doesn't hesitate to inflict the most brutal form of punishment and oppression upon dark-skinned people all over the world. To wit, right now, what's going on in and around Saigon and Hanoi, and in the Congo, and in elsewhere. They are violent when their interests are at stake. But all of that violence that they display at the international level, when you and I want just a little bit of freedom, we're supposed to be nonviolent. They're violent. They're violent in Korea. They're violent in Germany. They're violent in the South Pacific. They're violent in Cuba. They're violent wherever they go. But when it comes time for you and me to protect ourselves against lynchers, they tell us to be nonviolent.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. We just started the one of the series that we'll be doing weekly until we get through this is the war in space, the next battleground. And what we just saw, Keith, was you saw how vulnerable the grid is through cyber attack. But it's not even cyber attack; it's cyber attack and space war attacking. Cyber attacks and satellites attacking satellites. And what that really means, if you remember when it started to go down the different things that would happen and that's connected to the GPS. It was the traffic light. It was the ATMs. It was the digital terminals. It was transportation. It was aviation. It basically was pretty much everything that we use, the cell phones, everyone's cell phone. But one of the things that was very significant that may have been overlooked in that, Keith, was that the overall nuclear plants, the power plants and the nuclear plants in the country. So basically, via a cyber, this is why the cyberspace is a poor man's answer to, or the poor man's elimination of the threat of nuclear war. In that standpoint, but they still going to do it, right? But you would say if everything was as it says, that this one country versus this country, how do you nullify a superior country's military ability? Is you if you have a you don't have nukes, what you do is you get up on your cyber game and you nullify the threat of the U.S. and its nuclear arsenal and its complete military arsenal. And Keith, it's far cheaper.
Well, and it goes back to what I was saying before. Literally, from the way that I see it, war is not even necessary.
No.
In the least. All they have to do is shut down the power, and as far as they're concerned, the rest will pretty much take care of itself. We will eat ourselves from the inside out without them stepping a boot in this land.
Yeah, it's real. And the one thing that was significant, as I was saying, was the nuclear power plant. So basically what that means is that the power plants will have no power source. And here's the thing about that. Hold on, everyone. Here's the thing about that, Chief. Is that possibly even the generators may be compromised.
Well, why wouldn't they be?
Right, but no, I'm just saying it could be that the generators would actually be
Which
compromised.
Which generators are you referring to?
The ones that the generators that are held in hospitals and the nuclear facilities. Those generators would possibly could be compromised. Hold on one second, everyone. Sorry about that, everyone. So those generators, so what does that mean? That means that the overall nuclear facilities will start to go and melt down very quickly.
Well, they will anyway.
Because they won't be able to keep the overall pools, the overall water in the pools, or keep the pools cool so that the overall nuclear rods don't overheat. So basically, you'll have Fukushima events happening.
Well, absolutely. Look, with no power, it means just that. And everything that we do is with some form of power. Well, the problem is even our power is ran by another power that powers that power.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you start looking at the nuclear plants and all of that, that's still powered by the control of water, like you said, which is controlled by electricity, which is controlled by computers, you know. So when that stuff shuts down, everything shuts down.
Yeah, and that one is huge. That one is huge because now you're going to have, you know, radioactive isotopes.
You know what was so crazy, and again, is the only thing that I could possibly see, is if they would have started acting like they had a little bit of sense.
Who's
the United States.
Okay.
And they started building alternative energies, right? At that case, even if they did that, at that point, that would at least require these other nations, if they were going to attack, they'd have to come over here and attack those
installations.
They would at least have to do that. But since they didn't do that, like I said, they don't even have to come over here.
Yeah, yeah, Keith, you're right. There is no need. But even if you do have that capability, you know, Russia and China now have hypersonic weapons. You're talking about cellular weapons that nullifies the U.S. And here's the thing about it, the cost. So now, even if they, what you were saying, Keith, at this point and at this juncture right now, I don't think that Russia and China will allow the U.S. to go in a different route now.
Well, they won't.
No, because then now that would mean that they would have to now build up a defenses against that. So basically what it is the U.S. is not going to be, I don't think the U.S. is going to be allowed to get out of the position of disadvantage. Because if it starts to try to make ways out of it, what are they going to do?
They're going to shut it down.
They're going to attack now.
Of course. Of course.
This is why this thing is not stopping or slowing down. It's here. And it's unfolding. I'm sorry, Keith. I didn't mean it.
No.
It's here. Because the position of advantage, they are not going to lose that now. Mm-hmm. They're not going to get... The only thing that is really is what you said. Really, we're talking about a controlled surrendering. Unannounced surrenderance that needs to happen, because if the U.S. now tries to nullify these things, they're going to engage.
Of course,
they're going to engage, and this is why it's either way. This outcome is guaranteed for a economic collapse and a dissolving of the. The United States into the what do I call it? The untied states of America. And so, but you saw in this what they were talking about with the kamikaze satellite. It doesn't matter what backups you have in these type of scenarios. When you don't have the satellite capability any longer, you go dark. And it wasn't too long ago, it was last year that, and it wasn't publicized, Keith, I think you remember. You remember this, Keith? That there was wording that all U.S. intelligence and military satellites were blacked out. And then now you started to see in the beginning of the year some banking problems with infrastructure that was highly suspicious of being cyber related. And we've had all of the dry runs that we've had so far, and then now they shut the lights out in Venezuela. What is the response that the rest of the, if you see now, there's actually nations that are saying that we need to get rid of the pariah. And I said that this was going to be coming. And one of the nations, I think I saw that was Iran, was saying that we need to nullify the United States because of the problems that in the inhumane situation that they are creating globally. I'm just paraphrasing that because I don't I need to check. But I did see that, and I don't know where I saw it, but that was one of the things that was said. I'll find it again. But this is going to be the overall battle cry. And the rallying cry to move into battle against the U.S. And they're going and it is going to go full blown. One of the best ways to get this country is so dependent upon technology.
Completely.
Completely.
They turn everything out for just a little while, and every person will be begging, just surrender here in the States because of how unprepared. It was funny how they said that the military was preparing for this, and I bust out laughing. No, they're not. The military, this is why I keep, you saw where the different bipartisans and the different groups were saying that every time we come up with every scenario in a war against Russia and China, we lose. And we lose decisively. From the RAND Corporation to the bipartisan committee that put together the common defense assessment that we had here, where they said we lose. We lose infrastructure, we lose ground, we lose people, and we lose the war. And they were just talking about if they fought just Russia. But they're not going to just fight Russia. It's going to be Venezuela. China. It's going to be Iran. It's going to be China. It's going to be Germany. It's going to be France. It's going to be the UK. It's going to be Canada. It's going to be Mexico. It's going to be Korea. Notice I didn't say North or South Korea. It's going to be Korea. It's going to be Japan. Because all of the deals, it's going to be India. And to me, I think India is really the key here because the pressure that the U.S. is trying to put on India, to reel India in, you can see it because of the allegiance that's trying to be established with Brazil. Because they know they already lost India. And India is trying to make its overall global push because it realizes it has to do it. Because the dynamics of the geopolitical sphere is changed, right? One of the things, it's just like, Keith, if you like March Madness, you're in March Madness. And the number one seed is gone. And you have all the other seeds that are there. What happens there?
They wake up.
There's a heightened, because the opportunity for us to gain ground is significant.
The same thing, even if you look at what's going on with our politics right now, why you see so many people on the Democratic side all of a sudden wanting to run.
Yeah.
Because they say, hey, that joking can do it.
Yeah. There is a heightened sense of opportunity, and India is not going to let that pass by. And they're going to make a very, very, I think they're going to make a very, very strong move. And that strong move is not going to be what a lot of people are going to anticipate. India is going to say, no, 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 U.S., no more. No more.
Well, they have to.
And they've been doing it because they break every sanction. It's all of the significant sanctions. India is one of the first the fires of those sanctions. Don't buy Iranian oil. Okay, we won't use the dollar. We'll send them gold. That's the worst thing. You know, Iran, we'll give you gold for your oil. That's the worst thing that could happen for the U.S. Because if they do that, then India establishes inroads for everybody else to do it.
Which has already been done.
Which has already been done.
Because they were buying, Russia and China started using rubles and rubles and other forms to buy petroleum.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And then India comes in with, now, don't buy Russian arms. What do they do? Oh, Russia, send us your latest and greatest. We're going to buy it. U.S. says, don't buy it. If you do, shut up.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever, we're going to do it. And then all of a sudden you get a terrorist attack in India. Italy, I think right now you're going to see next Italy, something's going to happen in Italy, because Italy has now decided to do what? Go full Monty with the Silk Roads. One Belt, One Road with China. The EU is saying, hey, we need to disengage with the U.S. The U.S. is a major... Don't deal with the U.S. Germany's nope. They want to kick out the ambassador, but because he's acting like an invading commander. Yeah,
dictating
what. Yeah, you're going to dictate what we're going to.
How we're going to spend our money.
Well, it's not even just the money. The money is the one that they're using, but it's really the whole influence and the relationships what they're going to have. Because the Iranian deal, remember when the U.S. broke out of the treaty, Trump broke out of the treaty with Iran. It was really targeting Germany.
So I read a thing where Trump is now trying to go back and reestablish some of the things that he did away with in that treaty.
Of course. But it's not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. They're not going to allow it to happen.
But I just really wanted to emphasize. So now, Keith, with this capability, you can hear the capabilities. Here's it. Trump signs declaration declaring Israeli sovereignty in the Golden Heights.
Israel became a nation in 1948. I think that they fought a war.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was what? Like a
seven-day war. That was in the...
47?
Yeah, 7-day war.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, I can see where this could be a 7-day war.
Again. But this time, the opposite outcome happening.
With the United States being on the losing end.
Right, yeah.
It shouldn't take long at all. The level of chaos and casualties in the first, and I won't say 7 days, but the level of chaos and casualties in the first 30 days.
Man, Chief, I mean, Venezuela is the perfect thing. You say 7 days, you cut the light out, you stop counting days. Because you think about it. The rest of the world is going to be immune to what's going on here, just like everyone is pretty much immune to what's going on in Venezuela. People really don't know what's going on in Venezuela.
Not here.
Oh.
And don't care.
Don't. And there's going to be other parts of the world is going to be the same way when the U.S. lights go out.
So, which goes back to the point that I was trying to say. And that point is this. After the first 30 days, if the U.S., because war needs to be claimed.
Mm-hmm.
War needs to be claimed.
Yes.
Because if war is not claimed, how does the United States surrender?
Mm-hmm.
And if there is no surrender...
It's actually a procedural process.
Exactly.
Because now you're talking about the transferring of sovereignty.
Exactly.
So the winner goes the spoil.
Exactly.
So, yes, Steve, you're absolutely
but
right.
But those things have to be done.
Yeah.
Because if they're open-ended and war is never claimed and there is no surrender, there will be no door to open up aid to the survivors.
Yeah.
They can just go on indefinitely. Because like you said, the world is oblivious. They don't care.
Yep. Right. And that's why it's imperative to have a realistic view of what's going to be faced here. And, you know, we said it all before. The cyberspace is really the battlefield that is going to be the most threatening to every single person listening to, that's listening to and not listening to this show. It's because now as the grid is interrupted, disturbed, even if the U.S. grid is just disturbed, it's catastrophic.
Catastrophic.
If it's shut off, the U.S. is not built to be able to withstand what Venezuela just went through and is going through with their blackouts and power outage. Here's one of the reasons why.
because part of Venezuela's demise and getting to the point of the overall blackout was incremental, with steps. So those steps brought about a hardiness in the people at each adversity that they were able to overcome. You go from lights on, everything is cool, everything is working as normal, normalcy bias, oh, I don't need to get, you know, 30 days or 50 days worth of food. Oh, I don't need to go. That supermarket is right there. And then the lights go out. That means that you go from zero on the Formula One, a downhill 3 miles straightaway, into a 90 degree turn with walls on all sides, and your brakes go out. You hit the wall.
As they say, feast to famine.
Feast to famine. And here, people aren't conditioned. There hasn't been the incremental steps. There has been some things that have been, you know, disturbing in the States, you know, poverty, you know, calamities, man-made and natural-made, whatever. In today's world, I don't know if there's the line between the two is so blurred that it doesn't exist, possibly. Best for me is the best thing away is that it's not natural, it was man-made. So we've seen some different circumstances, different disasters, right? But that's not one we haven't had. You really think about it. When was the last national disaster in the United States?
Never had a national disaster.
So how prepared are people for such an event to happen? Not. And that dynamic really magnified the ripeness, the softness, the weak chin in the fighting terms.
Well, you say in the fighting terms.
Yeah.
I couldn't care less about the fighting terms.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, the fighting terms is inevitable. That's a done deal. My terms is your average Joe running down the street.
Yeah, that's going to be... And what I mean by that, when I said the fighting terms, that we tend just using that boxing, yeah. So you have a champion that's never been punched in the jaw. Or took a headshot. So the first time that they get hit with a professional, well, let's say they're a heavyweight, first time the heavyweight champs get hit by another heavyweight contender, and he's never been hit before, that overall chin is going to shatter like glass.
Well, you have old girl, what's her name, Ronda?
Ronda Rousey. Perfect
example.
And I said that, you see now you're trying to, look, he's, You get your own storm, all right? You get your own thunder. I remember that fight.
Now, hold on. Before you go to the fight, you have to clarify some things.
Yes.
Now, Ronda was 100% a manufactured champion. She had never fought a fighter. However, she was on the silver screen and every place else, built up to be this unbeatable gladiator, female gladiator that nobody touched, but she had never fought anybody.
And you know, Keith, that's how a lot of things are put together and designed here in the States, you know, and it's in globally, because control, the entertainment field of sports and that's all a part of the propaganda as well too, and it's a very meaningful propaganda. Very, very, it's really used to divide people, because what it does is that it fosters us against them. You know, it gets the linguistical thinking and the subliminal message in your head, like there's different fans of different teams, and people are so, because, you know, the word fan means fanatic. People are so fanatic about these sports that they are speaking untrue. They say this way, Keith. They'll speak this way. We have, well, our team,
You know, oh, we got a new quarterback. Oh no, we need to, we need to spend, we need to draft this person. Who is we? You're not a part of that organization at all. But because of the fantasy that propaganda continues to massage, we become unbalanced to where we can never distinguish between reality and fantasy.
Well, and again,
which makes us the perfect fan, because a fan means fanatic.
Sure. And it exudes into all aspects of our society. Look at our political system. The people couldn't care less about what's right, what's wrong, what's different, what path they're in. All they care about is that I'm a Republican.
I'm my part. Right.
And wherever they go, regardless of what they do, I'm a Republican.
Yes.
Same, vice versa.
There's an immaturity that's there.
Well, and blatant ignorance.
Yeah, yeah. I hate to, I would hate to say, when people think that they're a part of a political system, no, you're really not. You're used by that system so that they will gain from it all. How many people got tarped? Trouble asset repayment program. How many people got that type of funding? You're not part of the we, right? So, and we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. And when we come back, I just want to reemphasize the importance of the incremental steps that have been missed here in the States, because we just, talked about something that was very, very important. The U.S. has never been chin-checked.
Well, and we've talked about it to a degree.
Yeah.
And how we've talked about it to a degree.
Can we talk about it after we come out the commercial break?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you, my brother. So listen, you listen to Tando Radio Show. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number, and we'd love to hear from you. And so just before we went to the commercial break, we were talking about the paper tiger or the paper champion or the scripted champion that the U.S. was, and I guess we shouldn't have used any names. We just should have said this, is the lady that got her teeth kicked out, and everybody would have known who it was, who got put to sleep with a turn and a kick to the chin, which, but leading up to it, as you said, and that's really how that's one of the controlling mechanisms that's preferred to be used to maintain control over ownership. Those that have control. One of the things about controlling people is that you have to implement a practice that works to be able to maintain them. You know, Keith, you can't just control people, especially masses of people, with just physical force. There has to be a very cerebral, methodical propaganda program so that you'll get people to change their will to be your servant.
It talks about the elephant and how they changed it to a tree stump. So the whole time that elephant growing up doesn't have the strength to remove itself from that tree stump. But by the time that elephant's grown, he's got more than enough strength to remove himself from that, but he never does, because he's always been conditioned to think that he's
been made to believe that you can't. And then that if you talk to that elephant, it will give you all the excuses as why it can't. That will be its overall That will be its discussion. That will be what you will hear. You will always hear this. Yeah, but. Well, you know, realistically, we can't. I get it, I know, but. You know, but that's not how it works. Because with the elephant, if you talk to that elephant, you will notice something about that elephant. It will say this. I'm not going to do anything because I can't. I'm weak. It's just me. And once that's planted in your overall mind, you become both the prison and the prisoner. And so it's a very, very powerful thing. Our overall, our will is so strong. It was granted to us by the spirit of the law. And man had to pen with the pen of writing the letter of the law. They had to write laws to nullify the will, to get the will to surrender. And because of that, we don't come up with the conceptual, plausible solutions. Because we always, always think from the end of a chain. We really don't think from a sovereign standpoint because we've been conditioned. And the thing that to minimize that means that you're not really giving full credence to how powerful control of people is. Let me tell you, it's the most significant thing. You can only enslave people if you can control them. If you can control their mind. Because that's where slavery really, really starts, and that's where it ends. Once you lose that ability, what did Vladimir Putin say? There's nothing that you have that we want.
You know, one of the best illustrations, and I've probably brought this up before, but one of the best illustrations I can pick up of what you're talking about goes back to a cartoon. And the movie was called Ants.
Yeah, Brother Davis talks about that from time to time, too. But go ahead, Keith. Yeah, make
and
that point.
The grasshoppers
mm-hmm.
controlled the ants. Controlled them because they could, and they ran the world because of them. But late in the end...
Because the ants had a lot of energy.
Well, they're ants.
They're ants, right.
You know, I was doing some reading. Ants are some bad mojos.
Yeah.
Do you know that you can't drown ants? They will all come together and connect themselves with one another.
Yeah.
In a way that forms pockets of air.
That they wrapped out.
That they'll wrap out. They some bad mojos.
Yeah.
And the way that they work.
Mm-hmm.
And the strength, you know, they got the strength of their size times 100.
Keith, so think about that for a minute, from what you just said. Now, what if man had that same capability? What do you think that they could do? If they had that same capability and that same commitment, what are some of the things that you think?
So, with that being said, you're going to go into a divided road with me on that.
Well, because that's where I'm going. Because, you know, I don't even really need to go because we're on the same thing. Because for me, Keith, we're seeing the power of the ants in the overall. Man has that same capability, and they've been doing it for a very long time, like the ants. The network of subjugation and enslavement is really a mirror emulation of the ants' connectiveness.
It is.
And that's why this overall system of subjugation and control is so strong.
because those ants have connected together and it encompasses this whole planet. And they are able to put together their overall prevailing influence over every, darn near everyone.
Sure.
Not everyone, because there are people that don't play by those rules.
Sure.
But the large populated areas, in order for you to get to the populated areas, you have to pretty much surrender your sovereignty and your free will to be subjugated.
Well, so let me go into the two aspects I was talking about. You're exactly right.
No, you agree. I don't know if I'm right.
Well, yeah, I agree. The part in ants was one of the grasshoppers was doing something he had no business doing with one of the ants. And one of the higher echelon grasshopper called him on that. And he bopped him in his head, and I'm summarizing events.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, do you know what will ever happen if you wake up that sleeping giant? If you wake up that sleeping giant, there's nothing that we can do to stop. Now, the other aspect of that, of course, is you still have to have something, because basically that's what the Tower of Babel was about.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you have to have look what has happened.
I wish y'all would have seen Keith's face as he's going through this, as he's analyzing this. Multiple things are just hitting, and I can see it hitting from all different directions. And he's like, oh my goodness. But go ahead, Keith.
Let's look at what has happened here in light of what you're saying with our political system. Now, we just got done talking about we're to the point now where it don't make any difference that what they do, we identify as Republicans, and as a Republican, whatever Republicans do, I'm down for it.
Right, because that's my fan club.
That's hey.
Yeah.
But the question is, how do we get to that point? Because even before all of this began, we were supposed to be the government.
Supposed to be.
Supposed to be. So it was us supposed to be taking our government down the path that we're supposed to be going on.
Let me read you something, Keith, real quick, to make your point. And this is significant to why we have to prepare and make the necessary changes with ourselves first. And the willingness, it all starts with the prison of ourselves and realizing, wait a minute, I have been domesticated, I have been captured. Let me start to, as I always say, my Moses, to see your strength, commit a crime, allow yourself to be captured so that you can escape. And if we're not talking about escaping, then we're going to be in prison until we realize that we need to escape. Let me just read you something real quick. The letter of law is penned, P-E-N-N-E-D, penned. You know the...
Written out.
Written out, right. The pen is mightier than the sword, right? The letter of the law is penned as a broken declaration, remissly to moral absolutes, which spawns concessions and evil remedy for malfeasance. So basically, what does that mean? The letter of the law is written so that there can be spawns of concessions and evil malfeasance for those that write it and those that it was written for. And it goes on. While the true spirit of the law is granted as an inherent birthright for sustainable prosperity that is absent of civil fee or taxation. So what's being said? The spirit of the law. And it's not the spirit of the law that's been penned, because the spirit of the law that has been penned, you never really know, because if you didn't write it, you don't know why it was truly written. But we know what was granted to us under the spirit of the law by the great creator. We know what the truth objective of that was to bring sovereignty, prosperity, and sustainability. Because the air that you breathe, you don't have to pay for. It's granted to you by birthright. The water, the trees, the atmosphere, the stability is all granted to you as a birthright that is absent of civil fee or taxation. So with that one, you know that that has always been given to you, granted to you as a measure of love and as a measure of prosperity, because that's the only true spirit of the law. And a lot of people would say the spirit of the law, well, the spirit of the law means this. And this is how this system controls people. They say the letter of the law is the actual dictation of the law. You can't speed, right? No speeding. The letter of the law says there's no speeding. But if you have a pregnant woman in the car, you got to speed and get to the hospital. They say, well, the spirit of the law, you know, that right. doesn't allow. But see, that's how they get you. There is no real spirit to the law that was penned. Because of this, Keith, hold on. Because now you have to think, what did someone, you have to have interpretation of what someone else really wrote that for, not knowing that overall individual themselves and what they truly wrote that for. You can say it was because of this because you're hoping on a false promise. Case in point, give me an individual, think of an individual that you think was an evil person. You got that individual thought in your mind.
Present day?
No, just in thought, don't say it. Yeah. I already know what you're going to say. Okay, so take that overall individual. So Chief, are you confident enough to say that that person, if they wrote a law, that person wrote something in that law for the benefit of prosperity for all of mankind? Would you be willing to risk and bet anything on that?
No,
absolutely not. Because every law that's written by man is really, if you really think about it, is really written in opposition to the spirit of the law, because the writing of the law is written for control of the people, while the spirit of the law is actually granted for prosperity of the people.
I see it slightly different, though.
I figured you would.
I only say I see it slightly different because of the fact that nothing comes from an absolute extreme. And here's what I mean by that.
I know what you mean. Yeah, yeah.
So let's say, like, you think of this evil person
mm-hmm.
who wrote this law,
mm-hmm.
right? But let's think about a person that we believe
is a good person. Take it the opposite way.
Be right.
Right.
And do the right thing.
Right. Take that person, okay. Right? But now, what is going to give validation to that law? Who is going to interpret it now?
And that's not a start, practice, be-all. That's so many
sure.
things, and that's what I'm trying to say. So, for example, I'll give you an example, right?
Mm-hmm.
The guy that invented, I just lost it, penicillin.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what he sold that for?
I can't remember.
I'll tell you. Nothing.
Yeah.
Because he understood the great gift that this was to mankind.
Right.
If you go on the internet now
mm-hmm.
and you find anything
mm-hmm.
that somebody might want, you got to watch this whole presentation, mm-hmm. which is going to be a sales pitch
mm-hmm.
to whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if it's, you know.
See now, but Keith, this is what I'm saying. So now, the intentions of that individual moved into legalization and regulation of penicillin, didn't it?
Eventually.
Right. Now, that individual had the right intentions, but what did the system use? They saw an opportunity to use a tool to further their agenda, and this is why they regulated.
Absolutely.
To regulate means to fix and establish
control. Right now, they are trying
technology.
the technology that we're using, the internet, and that can be really used really, really, and that's the trick that they get you. Then it comes sure. under regulation, and that's where the devil meets the overall choir.
Absolutely. This Internet 5 thing?
5G.
5G. That's the epitome of what you're talking about. Because this technology allows them to maintain such a almost limitless amount of knowledge that they can control everything.
Yeah, and this is where, because of the letter of the law, I don't think, and I don't have a problem saying, and I'm not saying this to be right or wrong. It's just my experience. I will never, ever, ever, ever place the letter of the law above the spirit of the law.
Absolutely not.
And I
Absolutely
think that not. Anyone that does, that they're making a very dangerous mistake that's going to prove itself to be poisonous.
It's foolish. I'll give you the example of what you're saying, right? Which makes sense in most people most of the time, right? But if you look at it, it's the most ridiculous stuff you ever heard of. When you start seeing all these things that say zero tolerance, that's an absurd statement. Zero tolerance. Now things get so bad, they say, oh, we can't have this no more. For now on, zero tolerance. What are you, out your mind?
Because the system never wants to be challenged. It wants to only be obeyed. So, listen, everyone. I didn't get to, but we'll get to it. We're going to look at just real steps on preparing for this. And one of the things about the cyber thing is that it affects probably the slowest and the most controlling staple good. What I mean by the slowest, you know, without air, you die in you die in 3 minutes.
Some of us 30 seconds.
Yeah, Keith. Without water, 3 days.
3 days.
Without food, it could be weeks, right? Without energy, it can be prolonged or immediate. So one of the things that the system is using is it's choosing the battleground of energy because it gives them the best leverage. So, you know, there's for me, the table of preparedness, food, water, shelter, protection, and energy. The one that's always overlooked the most is energy. And energy is the most powerful one of them all. To me, it's the most significant one because it defines your existence, right? And it defines your existence. Without energy, you no longer exist in this physical form.
Sure.
And we overlook the importance of that.
Air, food, water provides, the reason why those are necessary.
Yes.
Is because they provide you energy.
They provide the necessary elements
right.
for energy to coexist in that form.
Right.
So now, the one and energy is really, they subjugate and enslave people only for one thing and one thing only, for their energy.
Absolutely.
And you take control right. over, you control things for energy first and foremost only. But yeah, I think Scotty was chiming in. Go ahead, Scotty.
No, it's Brother Davis.
Oh, Brother Davis. Go ahead, Brother Davis. And this will be the last before we get out of here. Go ahead, Brother Davis.
Okay, we got to stop thinking in terms of R square. What does that mean? That means height, width, and depth. That is the limit of our imagination, only because we've been taught that. But what if we have the ability to go out of the norm and just didn't know it? That means our energy literally can be created or regenerated at a thought. I just wanted to add that, y'all. Great show, though, brothers.
Yeah. So true. And that's definitely, and that's, you know, that has to be an engagement that we definitely have to get in because the energy is everything.
Yeah.
Life is defined, by energy. An inanimate object doesn't live because it doesn't have energy. It can't produce it, nor does it actually hold it, contain it. Anything that does is a living entity. Anything that does is a living entity.
You mean that produces it?
That naturally produces it. Right. Right. Not mechanizes.
Right.
Not something that's mechanized.
Because
then it's something. Because then it's a false. It's depending upon from someone. It has to be created by someone that has energy to be able to put that together. It's a prototype of what is natural. So we'll hit that later. So basically, for a car is not a living being. A man. Or mankind has to make the overall mechanisms for a car. It didn't form itself in the natural process of things. It was actually engineered and manufactured.
And once it is engineered and manufactured, it can't maintain itself.
It can't maintain itself. Right. So, all right, everyone. So much love, much respect. And never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. Great creator. We'll be back tomorrow. And it's never goodbye. Oh, I said that already. So this is the one. Last one. Before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.